could help out with that, or it might get tossed out. So I'm not in charge of that. It's a little loud, Daryl. I'll be loud. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Give you a second to go there. And we'll see in verse 9. Be starting Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. The Bible says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you that we can meet today. And I pray that you speak to our hearts for whatever need we have. Lord, you know all things. Lord, we're a needy people. And Lord, I pray you meet with us. Pour your spirit out upon this place and fill our lives with your spirit, Lord. Maybe one or more here lost, not sure about their salvation. Speak to their heart about that. Give them the desire, Lord, to be saved today. And we'll thank you for that in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message this morning is The Word of God. The Word of God. And you know, we have here a Bible. Here's a Bible here. I wear them out pretty good clip sometimes. It seems like the time I get all my notes in there where I want them, then the Bible's falling apart and I got to get another one. I guess that's not a bad thing, though, to wear one out. But I want you to think about this, the Word of God. This message, I hope, will encourage you somewhat as far as the Word of God goes. You know, we're living in a day, most of us lived in a time and a day when everybody... We saw Bibles and we've got them. You know, there's people in other countries that can't get the Word of God, get a Bible. There's people that have, that they'll take Bibles, they'll get one Bible, and people are so hungry for the Word of God that they actually tear pages out and hand out individual pages of the Bible so that somebody can say that they have a piece of the Word of God and they can just read those pages and they might trade them with somebody else. And you know, we're living, man, there's Bibles and bookstores and you can get them everywhere, and we've got them stacked up and sitting on coffee tables and collecting dust off in the corner. And I think we get a little bit jaded sometimes that, you know, we just see it as a book, and it's a Bible, and you know, we know it's about God in that. But I want you to think about this, that God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of life, he's got our next breath in his hand, that he thought enough of us to send down his word. We've got the Word of God, the very Word. It's not just a book about God or some collection of his thoughts. You know, it's God's Word, what God wanted to say to us. I used to ask the men, or maybe the ladies too, and sometimes you ever get a love letter back in the day, if you can remember this far back for you older folks, you got a love letter from your wife or your husband, and you kept that love letter. You know, you kept it. And boy, that was a special letter for you. I know a lot of you are looking at me like, what's he talking about? if you never have written one, men, go ahead, and it's not too late. But, you know, you look at that, and you look at that letter and look back and see it's special to you. It was something right to you. It was personal, and you looked at that. Well, that's what the Bible is, God's personal word to us. I mean, he wanted us to know. I tell a lot of people, say, well, you know, I'm just not sure that the Bible's true, and I'm not sure about... you know, whether, you know, man penned it down and wrote it, and man, you know, listen, God Almighty, creator of the universe, he created us, he created man, he created the earth, and he put us on earth. He didn't leave us down here just guessing about himself. He gave us his word so that we could know about him. That's how we know about God and we learn about God. And so I want you to, you know, get your mind wrapped about that. It's a powerful book. It's a profitable book. It's a penetrating book. And you know, this is it's a special thing. It tells us how to be saved. It tells us how to live, how to be successful. It even tells you how to die. It tells you what was going on in the beginning. It tells you what's going on in the past. It tells us what's going on in the present. And it also tells us what's going on in the future. There's not another book. This is the greatest selling book in the history of the world. You know that? Isn't that hard to believe, even in the day we're living in, liberal and atheistic as the world is getting today, the Bible has the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest selling book in the history of the world. The largest selling book, the Word of God. I mean, this is great. I see this. There's a danger going on in the world today of biblical illiteracy among people who claim to be God's people. That they don't know what the Bible says about certain things. Now, there's a danger there. And like I said, we've got Bibles everywhere. A lot of us got them, you know, and sometimes, you know, they're on the coffee table, look like a coaster for your coffee cup, or they got them on the shelf. They're laying around here, there, and everywhere. And most of us probably own a Bible. But I want to ask you this, and I know, you know, I've talked to some of the people and been talking to folks about this on a one-on-one relationship, about how many people actually sit down and read the Bible, not only read the Bible, but meditate upon what it says, or study the Bible, memorize some of the scriptures in the Bible. You know, how many people actually do that on a day-to-day basis? Listen, there's none greater, right? There's God, there's none greater. We've got God's Word. There can't be any word any greater. But what do we sit there and we watch those talking heads on TV blabbing about stuff that we can't do anything about to start with, just finding out what's going on. And we watch all these other crazy programs, Man's Opinion. I don't watch them, but people watch things like Oprah and, Dr. whatever, Dr. Phil, and all those other kind of programs that are on, you know, they got court things and all this. And they're, all they're doing, they're filling your mind with man's opinions about what you ought to do about some crisis in your life. I'm going to tell you what, you get in trouble, you get in a problem with your marriage, you get a problem raising your children, the last people you need to listen to is Oprah and Dr. Phil. I don't know, I'm not saying they wouldn't tell you the right thing, but I know what you need to do is look in the Word of God, because God is going to be right and true. You know, sometimes people get mad, they say, well, you know, you get around somebody and you say, well, they're always right. Sometimes that makes people mad. But I want to tell you something. Truth is truth and a lie is a lie. The truth is right. The truth is always right. It's never wrong. It's always right. We need to, study the Word of God. We need to study the truth of God's Word. You know, we look at Sunday school classes in churches today. Wednesday night, we got a service on Wednesday night called Wednesday Night Bible Study. Okay, we're studying the Word of God. And, those services are probably less attended than the main service, like on Sunday morning and Sunday night, which would tell you right there where people's heads are at as far as studying, looking at the Word of God. And so I want us to try to think about this a little bit. I think we've lost our awe and our appetite for the Word of God. A few months ago, I busted the youth group upstairs, busted the teen Sunday school class, went in, I told Paul was doing something, singing, I said, I'll be back in a minute, and I went up to the Sunday school class, up to the teen Sunday school class, and I went in there, and lo and behold, hardly any of the teens, now they're having a Sunday school class, which is to learn about the Word of God, and hardly any teens had a Bible with them. Do all the teens that didn't have a Bible want to stand up and show? No, I'm just kidding. So I said, listen, where's your Bible? Well, you know, the cat ate it, and you know, this and that and the other thing. I mean, I had all kind of excuses why they didn't have the Word of God. But boy, I tell you what, I guarantee you they go out of the house, they got a tablet. They don't go far without that. Huh? You might as well get a chain and hang it around your neck, huh, Damien? Huh? You don't go out of the house without that tablet. Man, we got to have that thing. Or, you know, cell phone, we don't leave the house without it. But the Word of God. I said, listen, so I talked to them a little bit about it. I know there has been some improvement that Wednesday night teen group. I mean, they'll tell you the same thing over there on Wednesday night. Going to Wednesday night Bible study for the teens, they don't have their Bible. Why? How are you going to study the Word of God if you don't have your Bible? You got to have the Bible. And so I think we've lost that. I remember when I first got saved, and one day I went out right after I got saved. I guess God worked it out this way. I went out, I had this real reliable truck. The thing had never not started. Went out, bebopping out that morning, that thing would not start to save its life. I mean, it was turning over and just wouldn't start. I messed with it and did everything I knew how to do. I finally just called in and said, look, I can't get there. I lived a long way from work. Can't get there. What'd I do? I sat there and read my Bible. I just had got saved. I went through Matthew, read the whole book of Matthew. Read that, God, it was a blessing day. I still remember it to this day from doing that. Amos said this in 8:11. He said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." Okay, now there it says that the Lord sent a famine in the land of hearing the word of the Lord. And what happened in that day was the people wouldn't listen to what the Lord had to say. So, and in those days, they didn't have a Bible and they had prophets. And the prophets would come and they would say, "Thus saith the Lord." And listen, the real prophet of God always told them the truth. But what happened was the people wouldn't listen to what the prophet said. And so it's just like reading the Bible and saying, "Okay, that's what it says, but I'm not going to do it." And God said, "All right, you won't listen, I'll just send a famine." And so what happened was for like 400 years, there was no "thus saith the Lord." They didn't know what God was thinking. They didn't know what God had to say. You know, if you don't, you ever know that old saying, you know, you don't miss something till you don't have it. You know, you don't miss something till you don't have it any longer. You know, like water, you know, we take water for granted because we got it everywhere. It was really coming down this morning. But you know what? You get where you don't have some water and you're really, really thirsty. You know what? You don't want anything else. Milk's not going to do it. Juice isn't going to do it. Soda's not going to do it. You know, there's times you just want water. Well, you really appreciate it when you get it then. So that's what God said. He said, "Listen, I'm going to create, there's going to be a famine of hearing the word of God." Boy, I'll tell you what, when God finally showed up, when he finally gave the word of God, listen, them people heard the word. They wanted to hear the word. They had a craving for the word of God. But see what's going on now. Listen, I don't believe God sent a famine of hearing of the word of God here yet. He hadn't sent a famine of that. There might be a famine of preaching it, but he hadn't sent a famine of hearing the word. But I think that we have produced our own famine where it's just not that interesting to us. We've lost that awe of the word of God. And so I thought about it. I thought about that deeply. I said, well, you know, why? Why is it that we can, I have people call me sometimes and say, "Preacher, what do you got good to read?" You know, being a smart aleck that I am sometimes, I say, "The Bible." You know, "What do you got that I can read?" I said, "Read the Bible." Listen, man, we read all kind of stuff. I was in the Navy with a guy. Too bad Stephanie's not here. She'd appreciate this. But I was in the Navy with a guy, had an old one of them old Rambler Americans. You older people know about the Rambler Americans. Had one, and the back end was always squatting down like this. And I asked the guy, I said, I was on the ship. He was on the ship with me. I said, "Man, what do you got in that car?" He opened up the trunk. And how many of you know who Louis L'Amour is? You know, Louis L'Amour novels, the old Western paperback novels. You know, the Sacketts, that was a big family there, right? It was filled up, the whole trunk of his car, with Louis L'Amour paperback novels. Well, when you're at sea, you know, you don't have a lot to do. And I wasn't a saved man then. And I said, "Well, man," I said, "let me have one of them. I'll get one of them and read them." So I read some Louis L'Amour when I was in the Navy because you got time that sometimes on your hands when you're not on duty, nothing to do, read that. That's what people read that. And there's nothing, listen, it's not a sinful thing to read. If you like Louis L'Amour, man, God bless you. You know, it's not a sinful thing to read that. But I'm just trying to show you, we'll spend a lot of time reading Reader's Digest, magazines, stuff comes out, this and that and the other thing. Look at our cell phones till we're blue in the face, reading text messages. We're ignoring the Word of God, the most powerful word that there is in the world. We don't read it. So I said, well, you know, it must be that there is a reason. And I was thinking, why is it? And it boiled it all down to this. It's just basically unbelief. It's just basically unbelief. We get to thinking, I've heard this said before. Well, you know, the Bible's not relevant for today. I heard a person tell me that one time. Listen, the Bible's probably, it's as much, if not more. I mean, I wasn't living in those days. But it was it's probably more relevant today than it was ever, or at least as relevant. Listen, it's a relevant book. It's not outdated. Boy, you can read the Bible and it covers every problem that's going on with man and mankind today. It covers it now. You know, we got to thinking that the Bible, the Word of God, didn't have any power to change lives. That's what we got to thinking, humanistically and as a group, I'm saying. We got to thinking that it didn't have that power. And so a lot of times we look to a psychologist report and go to psychiatric folks. And we get to, watch television shows that are going to talk about your problem that day. So you'll listen in and see what they got. We're looking to everybody but God about what can happen in our life. And, so we think it doesn't have the power to change lives. But I want to tell you something. This Word of God does have the power to change lives, because you're looking at somebody that's lives was changed by the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. And there's plenty of other folks as well. You know, we got to thinking, some of the thought out there is that parts of the Bible aren't true. Isn't it funny how people do that with the Word of God? One of the things they say is, well, the stuff I like, that's true. And the stuff I don't like, that must not be true. You know, we kind of cherry picking through the Scriptures to get what we like. You know, we start believing those that claim that man wrote the Bible instead of it being God-breathed. That's the thing about the Word of God. Man penned it down, but them Old Testament guys didn't even know what they were writing. They were writing down stuff that happened that wasn't going to take place for thousands of years. They had no idea what they were writing down, but God told them to write it down, so they wrote it down. And then we've got it today, and we look back and see those prophecies came true. It's God-breathed. This is God's Word. This Bible's been attacked by more than any book in the history of the world. The Bible has been attacked. It's been read and studied with the intent of disproving. And you know what? It's still here.
Amen.
Any other book had gone under scrutiny that the Bible had gone under with the intent of disproving it, it would be gone and off the face of the planet by now. Nope, it's still here because it's still the Word of God. And then people became ashamed of the Word of God. I heard a fellow saying today, you know, they got the modern technology, and I have one too. I got it on my phone. I got the Bible on my phone. And when you get old and you can't see good, which is like me, you constantly, like, I wear contacts and I have to put my glasses on to read. And so it gets to be a hassle. And so, you know, sometimes when I'm out, I go out hunting and that, I can bring my Bible up on my phone and it's bigger letters and it's bright and I can see it and I can read it if I put it in. And I don't have to wear my glasses and look over my nose like I do with you guys when I'm doing that. But you know what? I think some people, they got the Bible on this little thing right here. You know what? When I hold this up, what is it? It's a phone, right? It's just a phone. That doesn't have any witness to it. Doesn't have any power. Doesn't have any testimony in it right there. That's just a phone. Every teenager's got one, right? And everybody's texting away. But listen, I still got my old paper edition, got my big old Bible, and I go down there to come see somebody, I got my Bible in my hand. Scares some people. I've got out of the car and they'd see you getting out. I used to tell this story in those apartments down there on the other side of the river. Me and Pastor Frink, Pastor was here before me. We got out of the car one time. I had on a white shirt and a tie, and I got that Bible. There was this boy sitting up on a porch with his feet propped up, leaning back against the door. He leaned up right there, saw me carrying that Bible. He ran in the house like a scared little girl, locked the door, and I was just like, I have a tendency to be smart alecky sometimes. I went up there, and I knocked, you know, pray for me, I'll get over that, but I went up there and knocked on the door. I said, watch this. I went up there grinning from ear to ear. I just banged on the door. I knew the guy was in there. I was wearing it out, whap, 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 you know, and just kept on there, knocked about three times, and I was over there grinning, laughing. That guy come out like, what a chicken. So afraid that somebody's going to talk to him about the Word of God. People get ashamed of it, man. They don't, you know, hide that thing, man. Stick it under some papers in the car seat. Nobody will see it if they peer in there. Man, no, man. Let people see it, man. Let them know you got the Word of God. I got the old paper book. It's okay. I like to write in it and write on that. They say, I don't know. They say on the phones and tablets, you can write on the side notes on them now, too. I don't know how you do it. I just write in this one right here. There's nothing wrong with doing that to help me study it. But there's results that became of that thinking. And you know, it affected the church, too, and it affects us. We started thinking we needed other things. I spoke a little bit about this. I wrote this note in the back of my notebook, substitutes for Christ. I didn't get a whole message on that yet, but I could, and I just put it in right here. We started thinking as a church, or even as people of God, that we needed something else besides the Word of God. I tell you, man, I like what old brother Dwayne said the last couple times he preached right here. He said, man, people call up him and they say, hey, what do you got for the teenagers down there at that church? He said, I'll tell you what I got for them. I got the same thing I got for the adults, the Word of God right here. This is what your teenagers need, really. Me and Paul were talking a few minutes ago about how people call and say, well, what do you got about this? What do you got for that? What do you got? Listen, here's the answer to your problems right here. Huh? This is the solution to your problems. We got people around and we sit around sometimes and talk about our problems. I'm not here to talk about your problems. I'm here to talk about the answer to your problems. And the answer to your problems is Jesus Christ, and you're going to find Him in the Word of God. And so it's right here, all about Jesus Christ. But we think we got to have these substitutes. And that philosophy infiltrates the church. And what happens in the church, we think, well, you know what? We got to have a ball team. Well, if we don't have a ball team, then, you know, if we get a ball team, we'll draw people in. Back in the day, they used to have a thing in advertising. I guess they still do it now. It's called bait and switch. Bait and switch is what people, they would reel you in. They would say, advertise on television. Come in tomorrow only. Boy, we got such and such size TV for $19.99. And you go, wow, man, what a deal. I'm going to be there first thing in the morning. You can be the first one there that morning. You know how many 1999 TVs they got? Either none or they got one. And then you come in and go, hey, you got any of those 1999 TVs? They say, no, we're all sold out of that. But boy, can I interest in this one? It's $79.99. It's just a little bit better, but we're all out of the other ones. It's called bait and switch. They bait you in with the cheap one, and then they give you something else that you really didn't want, right? We'll see what happens with these other things that we try other than the Word of God. Oh, hey, look, we got a softball team, boy. If you come to church, you know, you can play on the softball team. We tried it. How'd that work out? Huh? Nobody that came to play on a softball team that wasn't already coming is still coming. We didn't play softball this year. We done got too old and feebly. We added up the years when we figured our average age of our softball team was 53 years old. It was time to hang up the cleats, man. It was time to hang up the cleats. No, they didn't have the league this year. But you know what? It's bait and switch. I'm going to bring you in for this, but then I'm going to try to substitute the Word of God. Now listen, there's folks out there that don't know that they need the Word of God. They don't know that. Amen. And you know what? We take the Word of God to them and tell them, look, this is the answer to your problems. The Word of God is what you need. Okay? Or there's people out there that are wanting the Word of God. They know. They've tried everything else. And they say, hey, you know what? I need Jesus Christ in my life. I'm going to go to the church and I'm going to get a copy of the Word of God. I'm going to hear the Word of God. They know that. They'll come. But somebody that's not looking for it, you can bait and switch all you want. It never works. They're not going to buy into this right here. If they're just coming for some other reason. So we got these substitutes. So we think we need that. Building programs. We're going to have get-togethers, entertainment, all that right there. Listen, it never works. It never, never works. There's nothing that's going to replace the Word of God. Like I said about the water earlier, if you're really thirsty, there's really no substitute for water. I mean, that's really what you're wanting right there. Some things are better than nothing, but it's not really what you want. We get humanistic thinking. You know what? When we do away with the Word of God, what else is left? Well, what else is left is turning on Oprah and Dr. Phil and everybody else. You know, the only thing that's left is humanistic thinking. If we're not looking at the Word of God, if you don't know what, you know, if you want to know what God says about life, and if you don't look at, or you want to know about life, if you don't just take God out of the equation, the only thing left is man. And last week I was speaking about additives to life. You know, a lot of time I use the old STP advertisement. You know, you got motor oil, and then the STP was telling you that you had to have STP oil treatment. What they were basically saying is your oil's not good enough unless you add this other stuff to it, right? Which is not true. But that's what we do. That's what's happening with now. Now we're saying, you know what? The Word of God's not good enough. Jesus Christ is not good enough. We've got to have additives to our life. And so we come up with fads and gimmicks and technology, drama and all that kind of stuff. And boy, there's some circuses going on in the name of God. The people are saying the name of God. There's some circuses going on in churches, just old preaching like I'm doing to you today. Like just what I'm giving you today. Just preaching, somebody standing up here. You know, you got to have lights and disco balls and smoke coming out of the floor and, you know, a PowerPoint, little pointer and everything. I mean, we didn't put this up here for you. Get a little pointer where I can shine it up there and show it to you, you know, and we got to have a big name singer coming in. But you know what? Is that transforming anybody's life? I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, all that is, and there's nothing wrong. Listen, somebody can sing lights out, you bring them in, great. If you got a PowerPoint thing, that's good. If you know all the other stuff, hey, you want a disco ball hanging down, I guess it's okay. I don't know. But you know what? It's the Word of God that's going to transform your life. None of that other stuff. We had all that stuff before we ever got saved. Listen, you know, I saw disco balls before I ever got in church, right? Oh, brother. But it didn't transform my life. We just need to get back to the Word of God. Listen, we're not going to out-entertain the world. We'll never out-entertain the world. The world will beat us at that game every single time. The world spends more money on one beer commercial than most denominations spend on missions in a whole year. You can't compete. You don't fight the world with the world. You don't fight the devil with the world. You fight the devil with the Word of God. The Word of God, that's a transforming the power of the Word of God. We don't need fiction. We need facts. A couple points. Just got 3 points for you this morning. And we're in Hebrews 4. The very first one is this. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is powerful. See what it says? It says in verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful. That word quick right there means it's alive. And that word alive also means this, carries with it this thought, that it's working. See, there's no other book like that. That's why the Bible was relevant in the Old Testament, the parts that they had of the Word of God was relevant in the Old Testament times, and it's still relevant today because it's at work. It's as relevant, as I said, today as it ever was. I had people say to me, they say, well, you know, the Bible's so subjective. Well, subjective means changing, that it changes with situation and time. No. And I said, no, it's not. The Bible's not subjective. It's people that are subjective. People are changing. The Word of God staying the same. The Word of God stays the same. Now, we're not getting closer to God for the most part. We're getting that far away, but it's not subjective. Last week I spoke about what happened in Ezra and Nehemiah's day. Remember that? God had judged Israel because, what, they got away from God. They started worshiping idols. So he used Nebuchadnezzar, carried him off into Babylonian captivity. When the Babylonian captivity ended, later on under the Persians and the Medes, they were in control when they came. They were real lenient with the Jews, and they started allowing them to go back. And they had gone back, and they went back to Jerusalem, and the first thing they did was they built the temple. That's very good, very noble thing. They built the temple up. That's where they're going to worship God. Remember that they hadn't built the walls up. I think it was sometime later. I know it was at least 5 years, and it might have been 20 years later when they finally built the walls. They got the walls built up. Okay, that was well and good. But guess what? It didn't change. They still were worshiping idols. And so, but what happened was when Ezra went back and he confronted them about this, and they found the Word of God, and he started reading them the Word of God. This is when the transformation took place. The temple didn't transform them. The walls being built didn't transform them. It was hearing the Word of God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, right? Amen. Hearing the Word of God transformed their lives. Listen, my funny little illustrations is not going to transform your life. The opening joke, if I ever have one, every once in a while I get one, that's not going to transform your life. Amen. It's what I'm telling you out of the Word of God, that's what's going to transform your life. It's still powerful enough to do that today. Trust me, it'll still do that today. There's people's lives that are being transformed even this very day. But see, all that other didn't do anything until he read the Word of God. They were in idolatry. Guess what happened? They put their idols away. They never went back. They had idol problems for years, back and forth with idols. They never went back into idolatry again. And so it was, it was the Word of God that made the difference in their life. The Word of God can convict. The Word of God can comfort. It can tear apart. It can build up. It can cut. It can heal. It's powerful. It's powerful. I used this illustration years ago. Some of you might remember it. And this is a true story. Most of us know this story from the movies. How many of you remember the movie Mutiny on the Bounty? Mutiny on the Bounty. Captain Bligh, you know. And of course, the crew, they mutinied. And they put Captain Bligh in a little dinghy and that. And they took this ship. And they sailed off, and they had gotten some women along the way that were on another island. But they sailed to an island. It was the Pitcairn Island. I think that's how you pronounce it. It was only like 2 miles long and a mile wide. It was a small little island, and there was some men. They had some of the women. They were having kids and stuff. But anyway, they had liquor and stuff that they got wherever they'd sailed to. They burned the ship up. Drunkenness and fighting had killed all the men, all the way down to one guy. His name was John Adams, not the president John Adams, but another one. There was one man left named John Adams. There was 11 women, I think it was, and 23 kids. He probably felt like killing himself too. No, I'm just kidding. It was 11 women and 23 kids, and this one man, John Adams, left. He had an old trunk there from the ship, and he got to digging around in there, and he found the ship's Bible. This is a true story. But you know, the movie always ends with Captain Bligh sailing off in the little dinghy and the ship maybe landing on the island. That's it. They don't tell you this part. He found the ship's Bible. He started reading it. Transformed his life. He started preaching and teaching the Bible to the rest of the people on the island. The 11 women and the children. They all were converted by the power of the Word of God. And today, there's only about 100 people that live on that island because it's so small. Almost every single one's a Christian today. And you know how long ago it was when, I don't know when it happened, but Captain Bligh's for our time, anyway. Put it that way. So that's the power of the Word of God. It's powerful. Believe it. As I said, there's too many cherry pickers. They like to pick out what they like and forget the rest. Augustine said this. He said, if you believe what you like in the Bible and reject what you don't like, it's not the Bible you believe, but yourself. That's what you believe. Bible, the Word of God is powerful. The second thing is the Word of God is profitable. Joshua 1, 7 and 8, the Bible says, there only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Right there in the Word of God. Think about this. What do we really want in life? Everybody wants just, you can boil it down. Success. That's what we want, right? We want to be successful husbands, wives. We want to be successful at whatever we do for a living. If a business, work, whatever it is, we want to be successful parents. I would think you'd want to be a successful parent if you are one, a successful father, a successful mother. That's what we want. Well, he said, look, meditate on this word day and night. God give you a promise right here, folks. Then thou shalt have good success. Then you'll have success. The Bible says about itself, it's a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. It's God's GPS. You know what a GPS is? Global Positioning System. I thought about this. It lets you know where in the world you are. Huh? How many of you ever made that statement? Where in the world am I? Read the Word of God. It'll tell you where you're at. It'll tell you whether you're close to God or whether you're far away from God. Huh? That's one thing. It'll tell you where in the world you're at, for sure. The Word of God is God's GPS. You have to believe it, but you have to follow it. You have to believe it. In Ezekiel's day, they heard what he said, but they didn't do anything about it. James said, if we're a hearer of the word, but don't act on the word, not a doer of the word, he said, we deceive ourselves. This is truth. It's not opinions. It's not speculations. People ask me all the time, they say, well, preacher, what do you think about something such and such? Might be some problem in the world or a sinful thing. And I'm assuming most of them are probably just hoping, I guess, that I'm going to give them, and I will, I'm going to give them the opinion. But it's really not my opinion. I'm hoping my opinion lines up with the Word of God, and I'm hoping when somebody asks me that, I'm assuming that's what they want to know. Really might be what, but this is what, it should be asked this way. What does God say about, that's the opinion you need to worry about. I'm not going to start my own TV show, Dr. Boone, on weekday afternoons at 3, right? I'm going to be on her. No, it's not what I say. It's what God says. It doesn't matter really what I think. It's what does God say? Today, where everybody's worried about being politically correct instead of standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord. I mean, that's happening. That's the problem in the pulpits today. Everybody worrying about being politically correct with what you say. Ask the average Christian what he believes, and you get a lot of spittering and sputtering and muttering and looking down and dragging their feet and I don't knows and this and that. Listen, the Word of God is dogmatic. You might have heard that term before. The Word of God is dogmatic, and it should be. Dogmatic means positiveness in stating matters of opinion. That's what the dictionary says it is. And so here, when you think about this, if I go to hear somebody preach, I want a dogmatic preacher. I don't want a preacher that says, well, preacher, what do you think? Well, shuffle around. Hell, I'm not real sure. I don't know. I think, perhaps, maybe, it's possible. Is that what you want me to say? Or do you want me to be like, I know what the Word of God says, and this is what the Word of God says. Whether you want to hear it or not, I'm going to tell you what it is. I mean, that's the kind of preacher I want. I don't know. When I get in, if I fly on an airplane, I want a dogmatic pilot. I don't want it, but do you know how to fly this? Well, I think so. I slept in a Holiday Inn Express last night. I think I know how to fly it. Maybe I can, No, I want some, yeah, absolutely, I know how to fly it. Man, I'm not, I want a dogmatic pilot. Man, if I'm going to go in and have brain surgery. Damien went in and have his little hernia surgery. Brian come out laughing. He told me, he said, Damien looked at the surgeon and said, what's your success rate? Hey, you wanted to know about that, didn't you? You wanted a dogmatic surgeon operating on you. You wanted a dogmatic surgeon, man. You don't want somebody, you ever done this before? Well, no, you're the first one. That's not what I want to hear. You know, I've never done brain surgery before, but you're the patient, you know. No, I want somebody that's dogmatic about what they're doing and knows what they're talking about. Listen, I don't want them shuffling around, like I said, saying maybe, perhaps, think so. Listen, the Bible is a no-so book. We ought to be no-so Christians. The Bible is profitable for correction, 2 Timothy 3:16. That's the only time in 2 Timothy 3:16 where it says it's profitable for correction. It's the only time that that particular Greek word is used, and it means to restore something to an upright position. It's profitable for doctrine. That means it's profitable for what's finding out what's right. It's profitable for reproof, finding out what's wrong. It's profitable for correction, how to get right, and it's profitable for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. It'll tell you that. I got the last little point. I'm getting to the end. The Word of God is penetrating in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It's penetrating. It reaches the innermost part of a person. And this is the part that a lot of people don't like about the Bible. I think that's why people run from it, because it judges the thoughts and the actions and the attitudes, but it gets those thoughts and attitudes. It can discern between spirit and soul, soul being the natural and spirit being the spiritual side of things. The Word of God is a mirror that shows us that we need God. That's what it was intended to do. But as I said, I preached a while back about that. You know, we look at the mirror, say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And I tell you what, we deceive ourselves and say, hey, we're the fairest of them all, but we're not. You know, it's a truth. I mean, it's a true mirror. We can deceive ourselves, and we don't want to look too deep. The natural man likes shallow preaching because it doesn't penetrate. You know, we can look, a lot of times you see people and we get a report. We say, man, you find out that so-and-so had cancer? Or something bad. We go, wow, no, I just saw them the other day and they look fine. You know why? Because it's an inside problem most of the time. See, we can have something wrong on the inside, but it's not on the outside. That's what the Word of God, that's what's wrong with us. Listen, the sins that we have and the sins that we see going on in the world are not outward conditions, they're inward problems. That's why law doesn't work. We already got, they say, well, you know, somebody gets shot with a gun. Oh, we got to ban guns. We already got a law that says thou shalt not murder. It's not working, is it? So taking the guns away is not going to change the human heart. The problem's not on the outside, the problem's on the inside. See, and so what happens is the Word of God works from the inside out, not the outside in. Law works from the outside in, and it never gets in. The Word of God works from the inside out. That's why it's powerful, it's quick, it's penetrating, it's on the inside. And we go to the doctor, listen, you got a problem on the inside. They're not going to treat the outside. They're going to go on the inside. That's what the Word of God does. Amen? Listen, those who love and live in sin don't want to go where the Word is preached, nor do they want to read the Word of God for that very same reason, because it penetrates their soul. It penetrates on the inside. Listen, if a carnal man is comfortable in church, something's wrong with the message, the messenger, or both. The Word of God contains demands that require a decision. And the Word of God is a confrontation with the carnal and the flesh. I'll say this in closing. The Word of God, let me recommend it to you, the Word of God. I've had people say this, and listen, don't take this wrong. This is nothing. This is not a knock on this. But, you know, a lot of people say, you know, man, I got my, and I have mine too. I got my great-grandmother's Bible. That's great. I'm glad you got, I have my great-grandmother's Bible. But I'm going to tell you know what? I want a Bible that's mine too, that I've written in, that I've got notes, so that when my grandkids, when Damian, Brianna, and Charlie down the road, you know, one day when I'm dead and gone, they can say, you know, my granddaddy was a pastor. He was a preacher. I got his Bible right here. Look where he wrote. They won't be able to read it because my handwriting's so bad. But they'll say, look where he scribbled in there. I got my Bible. Man, listen, keep your great-grandmother's Bible. It's good. Get you a Bible. Study it. Read it. It'll change your life. And have a Bible that you can pass down to your family. And man, what a testimony to have the Word of God. Read it to your family with your kids. How about your kids and your grandkids being able to sit around and say, you know what? I remember my granddaddy. I remember my grandma reading to me out of that very book right there. Out of that Bible that they had. They studied. They knew that book. What a testimony. Man, I don't want my grandkids saying, you know, boy, my granddaddy was a dope head, a drunk, Something, but you know, my granddaddy read me the Word of God, gave me the Word of God. Listen, you can't give a greater thing than the Word of God. I want to recommend that to you today. Listen, if you don't have a good Bible, see me. I'll get you one. I'll get you a good study Bible. Read it, meditate upon it, study it. Listen, it'll transform your life, guarantee. Transform. Nothing else. Just coming here, having good singing, all the things we do, that's not going to change your life. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.